When life is going good, it's easy to take your faith for granted. Wouldn't you agree? When your finances are good, when your relationships are doing well, when everything at work is going okay, you know, don't really have to kick in our faith that strongly. But when things go bad, when things get tough, when things fall apart, that's when faith really must kick in. That's when our faith must overcome the temptations, the trials, the difficulties that come along with us in our lives. Because Jesus said we're guaranteed to have difficult days. We're certain to have trying times. And Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us that faith to believe that God is with us and that God is there to help us through those times. Listen to this saying, when life is at its toughest, faith must be at its greatest. Again, when life is at its toughest, faith must be at its greatest. I'm asking you this morning, how great is your faith? How strong is your faith this morning? Faith in God, not your Christian walk, not your faith in believing in Jesus, but your faith in who God is. Because it's one thing to know who he is, it's another thing to truly live for him. That is faith that is active. That is faith that is ready to kick in whenever the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's something that we must do and share with each other because our faith needs to be strong at those times we need it the most. And many times God will allow us to go through things that we know we don't pray for, we don't want, we wouldn't wish upon anyone else, but he allows us to go through those seasons in life that stretch our faith, that challenge our faith. It's really God's way of saying, how strong is your faith? How great is your faith? See, when I spent a week in Rochester, New York for my last week of my brother's life, it was a very difficult time. But through the midst of that week, my mom, my dad, myself, my grandparents, we sat there and we were amazed at the amount of peace that God was giving us in the midst of that difficulty. We knew that it was completely because of our faith. Certainly those of us around our families that were praying for us, no question. But we knew, we recognized that faith. Because without faith, we'd be falling apart. Without faith, we would not believe that my brother was going to a better place. Without faith, we would not believe that one day we would see him again. And so though it was a very difficult time, God's faith, our faith was strong. And it was heightened, and we were able to encourage each other and cry with each other and have great memories with each other. It was that faith that kicked in during that tough time. Oh, it was faith when I was lying in a hospital bed over 4 years ago when God spoke clearly to my wife and encouraged her, I've got this. My hand is upon your husband. I'm in the midst of this situation. And it was that faith that she was able to hold on to during those darkest hours. During those most difficult times. It was that faith that it actually encouraged her to be able to share that with others and to allow others to have that faith. Maybe you remember that time. Maybe you remember a time in your life when you thought for sure this was going to be the most terrible thing, situation that happened in your life. When whether it was financial or, again, emotional, spiritual, whatever it was that was going on in your life, you're like, how am I going to get through this? And yet if you looked back today, you'd say, God was with me. God walked with me. God showed me. God strengthened me. And you're a better person today for that than you were then. No, how great is your faith? How strong is your faith? When your finances fall apart, do you stress out? When your health begins to fail, get difficult, do you begin to worry? When your job is at stake, you begin to panic. See, all of those things are opportunities for us to strengthen our faith and believe in a God that sees what's going on, that knows what's happening, that has every single one of your tomorrows already in his mind, and that you just got to put your faith and trust in it. I'm not saying be dumb and just sit there and do nothing. No, sometimes God asks us to do things. But do we allow our faith to kick in? It's all a part of God's plan, and it's all a part of what God is trying to create in you. My father sent me an email yesterday. Most of you know my mom passed away, and so my father's taken over the job to send me these funny emails. I can't get them to stop. So it says, the title of this email was Saying Grace, and I want to read it to you. It says, a visiting preacher was attending a men's breakfast in Ohio farm country. He asked one of the farmers in attendance to stay grace that morning. After all were seated, the farmer began, Lord, I hate buttermilk. The preacher opened one eye and wondered if to himself where this was going. Then the farmer loudly proclaimed, Lord, I hate lard. Now the preacher was overly worried. However, without missing a beat, the farmer prayed on. Oh Lord, you know I don't care much for raw white flour. Just as the preacher was ready to stand and stop everything, the farmer continued. But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love fresh biscuits. So Lord, when things come up we don't like, when life gets hard, when we just don't understand what you are saying to us, we just need to relax and wait till you're done mixing. And probably it will be something even better than biscuits. Amen. Better than biscuits. And Dad, if you're listening, keep sending me the emails. I just love that story because that is truly what life is. If you break down your life in little chunks, you probably don't like difficulties. You probably don't like it when you don't have enough money to pay your bills. You probably don't like it when your spouse says something or does something that just irritates you. But when you mix all those things together, when your life gets mixed together, it becomes precious. It becomes something greater. It's what God is doing. And so if you're here this morning and you're going through a difficulty, trust me, God's not done mixing. God's not done working in your life. God's not done creating in you a faith that is so great that it'll be a testimony for others. And that is exactly what we see in the few verses in Mark chapter 7 as Jesus enters into another area, an area of where the Gentiles live, and he meets a mother who is in great need. And it's a very interesting story that I believe will speak to each and every one of us. So Mark chapter 7, verse 24, read with me. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. A very short story, but a very powerful story if we break it down and if we look at it. When it comes to having great faith, the first and foremost thing you must ask yourself, is it faith that is persistent? If you're taking notes, write that down. Is my faith persistent? Does my faith tell me to not give up? Listen, life comes at us, difficulties happen, and many times we just think, what's the point? I keep trying, I keep moving, I keep trying things, doing things, and nothing seems to be falling into place. Maybe there's something that you've been working at, maybe it's been years, maybe it's been many years, and you're thinking, is this ever going to change? Is this circumstance ever going to get better? And you're asking God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to reveal to me? You know that God uses these things to create a character in your heart. But you're asking yourself, why, Lord? Why is this happening? See, our faith, in order for it to be great, needs to be persistent. We need to be persistent in the things that we do. Believing, and that's what this mother was about. She was about not giving up because she had a great need in her life. Wouldn't you agree? As moms and dads, the greatest thing that you can do is care for your child. That's your first and most primary, probably, passion and concern is to make sure your kids are okay. That's why on an airplane, when you sit there and they say, you know, if the cabin pressure drops in here, these air masks are going to drop out of the thing, and what do they tell you? Make sure you put your mask on first before you assist your child. Why do they say that? You think you're going to forget? No, because they know your heart is more concerned for your child and that you will help them first, potentially putting yourself in danger. See, if you're not healthy, if you're not strong, you can't help someone else. And that's the same thing in our spiritual walk with God. If we're not healthy, if we're not strong, if our faith isn't intact, not only can we not help ourselves, we can't help our brothers and sisters who need help, who need that encouragement. And there, to me, it is one of the most amazing blessings that God would use any of us to help someone else. Maybe a situation you've gone through, maybe a difficulty that you have already forgotten that you went through years ago. Now someone else is in that situation. You're there to be able to come alongside that person and say, I need you to believe right now. I know it's hard. I need you to have faith. I know it's hard. But I've been where you are. I've walked where you walked. I've been in that place that you're wondering, why is this happening? And maybe you don't have the answer to answer why it's happening, but you have the answer to say, God will get you through it. That's great faith, isn't it? That is believing faith. That is faith that says, I'm not so concerned with myself as much as I am. I want to help someone else because I know someone that's helped me. See, Jesus comes into this area and he sees the first experience. The craziest thing about this, as far as we know from Mark's gospel, the only reason Jesus went there is to have this meeting with this mom. And that's the beautiful thing. Jesus will go out of his way to meet your need. Jesus will go out of his way to meet your need. Notice it says as Jesus comes into the town, he goes into a house and he wants to be hidden. He doesn't want to have anybody see him. Jesus is not about being the miracle man, right? He does those things, he heals people, but he doesn't want to be known for that. And if you've been with us, he's been telling his disciples it's time to get away and to rest, and Jesus is trying to get that rest. So he goes into this house, but he can't be hidden. And I find that to be a very significant thing for all of us to think about this morning. That Jesus is not hidden in our own lives. That Jesus isn't hidden in our homes. That Jesus isn't even hidden in our workplaces. Listen, I'm not saying be the career evangelist in your workplace and to be that Christian that just making sure everybody's going to get saved, because we understand the places that we're at. But do people know around your life that you have strong faith in God? Is Jesus exposed through your life, or is he hidden? Is he private? See, the world around us wants to hide Jesus, don't they? The world around us wants to remove Jesus, don't they? In fact, just this week, I read this article. The country wants to remove Jesus, and this article is entitled, let me pull it out, it's right here. Entitled this, and when I saw it, I was like, you gotta be kidding. Oh my God, school bans student-led prayers at football games. It's nothing new, but this is what we see. They wanna get rid of Jesus, and I just wanna read this article real quickly because it's actually amazing to me. Faith and football go hand in hand, especially in the great state of Alabama. Don't send me an email because I said Alabama. It's not all that unusual for high school football games to start with a moment of prayer. The game announcer will ask folks to stand to their feet and remove their hats as the marching band belts out the Star Spangled Banner. Then he'll hand the press box microphone to a student who will thank God and ask for his blessings upon the event's game. It's a longtime tradition. A beloved tradition where folks of all colors and backgrounds unite as one people in public before you know what's going to happen on the field. But that tradition has come to an abrupt end in Lee County, Alabama. The school district recently announced that student-led prayers will no longer be permitted before high school football games. Get this. This is a violation of the Constitution. I was just in D.C., and that's a bold-faced lie right there. Anyway, superintendent, I'm not going to say his name, the superintendent told me during a telephone interview, students and adults are not allowed to pray over the public address system. To the best of his knowledge, the superintendent said no one has ever complained about prayer until now. He says, in our business, it's not a problem until it becomes an issue. He said, and I understand the decision. I don't necessarily agree with it. I am bound to follow the law and uphold what is supposed to be done. The public prayer ban was the result of a complaint letter filed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a notorious group of atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers based in Wisconsin. Apparently, a local parent got triggered by the name of Jesus and suffered a raging microaggression. Look it up. It's a ridiculous microaggression. It's ridiculous. It's illegal for a public school to sponsor religious messages at school athletics events, claims the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Even if student-led, the court said prayers at a regularly scheduled school sponsored function conducted on school property would lead an objective observer to perceive it as state endorsement of religion. The Freedom From Religion Foundation said football games must be secular, listen to this, to protect freedom of conscience for all students. It's unbelievable, but it is believable, isn't it? And this is what the reporter says. Oh, good grief. It's a pregame prayer, not a Sunday morning revival service. I love that. The superintendent said the public prayer will be replaced with a moment of silence. So the journalist says, so what happens if someone in the stadium on Friday night decides to recite the Lord's Prayer? Will they be kicked off the school property? Will they be tossed in jail? The superintendent said spontaneous recitation of the Lord's Prayer will be permissible. That has not been banned, he said. Well, if that's the case, the student who was previously assigned to prayer should pull out a megaphone and in a very subtle way holler, hey all, hush up. We're about to spontaneously recite the Lord's Prayer. And if I know the folks in Alabama, I reckon those atheists will be able to hear the prayer all the way back in Wisconsin. But that's the reality that we live in, isn't it? And we're hearing this more and more. More and more. Just want to hide Jesus. Want to put Jesus in a box. Want to get it out of the way. It's amazing how concerned they are for people's rights. But when it comes to the rights of believers, we don't have rights. And here's the thing we got to remember, guys. Jesus doesn't need to be hidden. And if he's being hidden in our lives, shame on us. We as believers need to be the louder voices. There's only one parent that complained, and now prayer is taken away from a football game. Where are the hundreds of believers saying, I want prayer at a football game? It's just going to keep happening unless we speak out, unless we share a voice. And again, I'm not saying we're all evangelists, but I'm saying don't let your faith be hidden. Let your faith be great. Let people know that you're a believer. When someone has a need in their lives, spend some time with them and pray with them and encourage them. And maybe you're sitting there going, I don't know how to pray. Listen, if you know how to say thanks, if you know how to be gracious, that's how you pray. You lay hands on someone, you say, Lord, thank you for this person. Bless their life. God answers the simplest prayer. Praying for someone doesn't mean it has to last 5 minutes. Amen? Prayer for somebody is just from the heart. It would be the same thing that you would wish for your child. Pray that to God for someone. This is a call for all of us to get our faith strong so that it's evident to other people. That's all I'm saying. People need to know that you're a believer because the minority of the atheists and the agnostics are speaking so loudly around us that they're being heard more than we are. And listen, we're not going to do it angrily. We're not going to do it viciously. We're going to do it graciously and lovingly, letting people know they need Jesus. Listen, an atheist and an agnostic, when they go through some tragedy in their life, and there's a Christian around that can give them some hope, I bet they'll change. I bet they'll change if they start seeing Christians around them truly being Christians. Did you hear the end of the world was yesterday? Did you hear about that prediction? It's Christians like that that make me lose my faith. It's like, listen, if the Bible says no one knows, then why should we as Christians say we know? It just seems, anyways. We need to be those Christians that are showing the world around us who hate God how loving our God really is. And that's the reality. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to memorize your Bible. You don't need to say eloquent prayers. You just need to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Has Jesus done something in your life that you can share with someone else. And it doesn't have to be a miraculous thing. It doesn't have to be amazing. It can just be, he's given me an amazing amount of peace in my life. Guys, we don't want to hide Jesus. We want others to know that Jesus is here. So here Jesus is in this house, wants to be hidden, but you know what? Here comes this mom, listen, who heard about Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, we saw Sidon and Tyre as well. And when Jesus was there, there was multitudes that came from this region. So there's no doubt that this mom heard about Jesus or maybe even witnessed the demon-possessed people that were healed and those that were hurting and sick and those were healed. There's no doubt. She heard about it. And now Jesus is in her town and she has a huge need. And she's going to come to Jesus. Again, have you heard what Jesus has done in your life? Have you heard what Jesus has done in my life? We need to let other people know what Jesus has done in our lives. This mom goes to Jesus because of what she heard. And she's not even a Jew. She's a Gentile. And that's the thing about this. Persistent. She's persistent in what she did. Notice it says in verse 26, and the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her. She was persistent in what she does. In fact, Matthew's gospel says that the disciples that are with Jesus say, Jesus, send this woman away because she keeps bothering us. It's basically what the disciples say. You got to love the ministry of the disciples. Jesus picked a great crew. We want to do ministry, Lord, but send them all away. No. Basically what the disciples are saying, could you heal her daughter and let's move on? That's basically what they're saying. This woman didn't give up. She was persistent in her asking, and that is the same thing that you and I both need to do, is to be persistent. Listen, if you pray, and I pray that you all do pray consistently, if you do at least pray, don't give up when you're praying. Don't throw one prayer up there and that's it. Be persistent. Seek the Lord consistently and regularly. That's what's going to grow your relationship with God, and that's what's going to bring God to that place of truly hearing and hearing your heart, hearing your heart. Notice what Jesus does, how he responds as she's persistent in verse 27. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This woman was persistent in her prayer, but Jesus takes her faith and tests it. What Jesus is saying to this woman is not a derogatory statement. He's not talking down to her. The reason Jesus came was why? For the Jews, right? Jesus came from heaven and was there to minister to his chosen people. And that was Jesus's purpose. So what Jesus is telling this mom is, listen, I've come for the Jews first. Notice it says that. The children must be fed first. The picture that Jesus is painting is you all as a family sitting around the dinner table with your meal, and Jesus says, we're not going to take the bread from the children and feed the dog, the pet, all right? It's not a dog in a negative thing. He's not calling this woman a dog. He's not looking down at her because dogs weren't regarded as much back then. He's basically saying, you're not going to take food from your children and give it to your pet. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm here first for the children. And so Jesus is testing her faith. This is something we don't enjoy, is it? We don't like it when we're being tested. We don't like it when God stretches us and makes us challenge. We don't want to hear God say, just wait. Just wait a little bit longer. It's like, Lord, I've been waiting a whole 30 seconds. I need my prayer answered. Right? We want things to happen now. And Jesus is testing her faith. Does she really want this? Or is this just a mom that wants her child saved? And that's the same thing for us, guys. When we come to God in prayer, he doesn't want us to come selfishly. He doesn't want us to come and just give him a list of things that we want him to do for us. You've heard me say it before. It does us no good if God answers every single one of our prayers the way we want him at any moment. That's not a relationship. That's a spoiled brat, isn't it? And so Jesus is seeing this woman, he knows all things, and he's saying to her, I can't answer your prayer right now. I've got other things that I need to do. And he's asking this mom if she really does know who he is. She's heard, but does she know who he is? Again, in Matthew's gospel, gives us a little bit more light. In Matthew's gospel, the mom responds to Jesus like this: "O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me," or something along those lines. The Son of David is very much a key to us that this woman knew exactly who Jesus is. The Son of David was the coming Messiah. This mom knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and that's what Jesus wants to know. Jesus wants to know, do you really know who I am? Do you really want to have a relationship with me, or do you just want me to fix your problems? But plenty of Christians in the world that just want Jesus to fix their problems. But I would hope for many of us in this room, we want Jesus to build character in us, and sometimes that requires testing our faith. When Jesus says, not right now, are you okay with that? When Jesus says no, are you okay with that? Because this Jesus speaks to this mom and says, listen, I can't do this. And notice her response in verse 28, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. She looks to Jesus and she goes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And this mom is basically saying to Jesus, I don't want to take you away from the reason you're here for the children of Israel. But notice what she says. Even the dogs eat from the scraps or for the crumbs of the bread of the children. And this, to me, is what makes Jesus go, you really have a lot of faith. Because she's basically saying, Lord, I don't need a lot from you. I just need very little. You guys realize the power that Christ has in our lives? It doesn't take much. We've seen it time and time again. Remember the woman of flow of blood? Just needed to touch the hem of the garment. It doesn't take a lot from Jesus. And even in this, Jesus basically just says, your daughter's healed. Doesn't have to go there. Doesn't have to touch her. Doesn't have to see the situation. He knows. And so her faith being tested produced in her a greater desire to say, you are the Messiah, and I only need a little bit of your attention. I don't want to take you away from what you're doing, but I have a great need. When we get to this place in our lives, are we in agreement with what Jesus says? Are we in agreement with the answer to our prayers? None of us wants to hear God say, no, I don't want you to have that. When you're asking God for something and he says no, do you know why he says no? Because he wants to see you to suffer. No, that's not it. Because he knows that's not the best for you. Think about that for a minute. If you're asking for something that's not the best for you, God says no because I have better for you, wouldn't you say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want your best. I want your best in my life. And maybe that is... God, I want a spouse. Maybe you're praying to be married. Lord, send me a spouse. And God's saying, you're not ready. Or they're not ready. No, Lord, I want it now. And many, what happens, what I witness many times is people compromise. And they go for what they want. And they wonder why God doesn't bless it. Make sure that when we ask God for something and he says wait or not now or no, that we immediately say, yes, Lord, you're right. Not my will be done, Lord, your will be done. Because tested faith is greater faith. Faith that is tested is faith that is true. Think about that. Faith that is tested is faith that is true. James said it himself, works without faith is dead. You know? Show me your faith without your works. Show me your faith without doing something about it. And James says, I'll show you my faith by doing my works. Your faith is evident when it's tested. Your faith is true. It's greatest when it's tested and when it's strengthened. And I bet everyone in this room could give a testimony of how their faith was challenged and stretched and tested and how they're better for it today. So not only was this woman persistent, not only was her faith tested, lastly, her faith was rewarded. Look at verse 29. It says, then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when he had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Now, I love the last line, and her daughter lying on the bed. To me, there's no doubt that this child has probably been tormented most of her life. And this is probably a young girl, probably very young. And maybe for the first time, this child has finally found some peace. probably for the first time, this child is finally at being free from this demon. And the mother comes and sees her lying in the bed at total peace. Guys, when God finally does answer our prayers, that's when we can be at total peace. That's when our hearts can be at perfect rest, when the answer finally does come. The question is, are we willing to wait for the answer to come? Are we willing to be persistent in the process? He said, "For this saying, go your way." In fact, in Matthew's gospel, again, if you read Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, again, the same picture. Jesus answers and says to her, "O woman, great is your faith." Here she is. Jesus looks at her, "Great is your faith. Great is your faith." He said this. He's said this before in the past. And he said, "I haven't seen faith like this, not even in Israel." He said to the centurion, I believe it was the centurion. And it's like, this woman had great faith because she believed. Jesus wasn't trying to be difficult. Jesus was just trying to draw out of her a stronger faith. And that's what happens with us in our lives. When we don't get what we want, when we want it, and we have to wait. We need to make sure we stay persistent. We need to make sure we're understanding that maybe God is testing our faith so that it's strong. And then ultimately the reward will come. And he rewarded her by answering her prayers. Notice this. It's not difficult for Jesus to answer our prayers. It's not difficult for Jesus to deliver them from a demon. It's not difficult for Jesus to do anything. It takes 2 seconds. I had the opportunity this morning to pray over someone who has something physical going on with their hands. And they didn't want to necessarily bring it to us. They didn't want to let anybody know about it. That's how men are, aren't we? You know? Oh, my back hurts, but I'll deal with it. Oh, my hands hurt, but I'll deal with it. Guys, we have such a powerful opportunity to bring our needs to God, to bring our needs to the Lord, and to say, "Lord, I'm going to put this before you. I want you to answer it, to believe. I am believing that that person I prayed over is going to be healed, and that's going to be a wonderful testimony. It's going to increase my faith to know that God hears my prayer, answers our prayer, and then heals people." That's the reality. Guys, this is the opportunity that we have. Don't go away from here. Listen, there's prayer counselors up here every single Sunday after service. And 9 times out of 10, I end up talking to them because most everybody just wants to leave. And listen, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to let you know, bring your issues to God. He says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. If you're not casting them, if you're not giving them to him, then you're having to deal with them. And listen, your problems are much better in God's hands than your hands. Amen? Whatever it is, whatever it is that you feel like, and listen, there's a lot of things on my list that I've been dealing with for a long time, many years. And I'm just like, "Lord, I'm getting tired of this." And you know what God always says to me? "I never tire. It's okay if you tire. I never tire. I'm still working. You don't give up. You be persistent. You keep the faith." Let's not be those Christians that want God to make our life easier. Let's be those Christians that want God to make us stronger. Amen? That truly we would be stronger. Because I think we're better off with the biscuits. We're better off after everything mixes together and we get out on the other end and we look back and go, "Look what God created. Look what God did in my life. He took that tragedy and he turned it into a testimony. He took that difficulty and he turned it into an opportunity for me to share with someone else what God's done in my life." People need to hear what Jesus and God are doing in your life. That's truly the life of a Christian. Not how many Bible verses you've memorized, not how many Bible studies you've attended, not how many prayers you've prayed, but how faithful you are to be used by God. How great is your faith? This week, work on your persistence, trust in the testing, and wait for the reward. Father God, we thank you today. for answering this mom's prayer. Knowing you were going to, and that's really, when you step back and look at this picture, you see that's the reason you went to this space. It's the reason you went to this area around the Sea of Galilee to meet a mom who had a need. She believed in you, God. She knew that you were her last hope. And she put all of her faith in you. And you blessed her for that. You blessed her for believing beyond belief. A wonderful example for all of us to truly believe that your ways are better than our ways, that your thoughts are beyond our thoughts. And what you're doing right now and what you're allowing to go on in our lives at this very moment is going to produce amazing fruit. It's going to produce Christians that are strong, that are confident, and that believe in you. So I pray for everyone in this room. Touch them where they need to be touched. Heal them where they need to be healed. I pray for those that are in a very difficult season of their life right now, who don't know what's going to happen, who are uncertain of what tomorrow's going to bring. I pray for them, God, that they would believe in you, that they would believe that you're working things out for them because you love them. Let them not lose faith. Let their faith be strengthened. To you be the glory and to you be the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.